Title: Creating Fake Room Mics with FX Returns Advanced. Alright, let's build something that makes drum and bass drums feel like they were recorded in an actual space, even if you're using super dry one-shots or tightly edited break. In a lot of D&B, that alive, wide, aggressive drum sound isn't just the samples. It's the room. And the trick is, we're not going to slap a reverb on the drum bus and call it a day. We're going to create fake room mics using return tracks, and we'll treat those returns like mic channels on a console. Meaning, we'll filter them like real room mics. We'll compress them like they're being worked. We'll distort them like a preamp getting abused. And we'll control them with gating, ducking, and automation so they add energy without washing out the groove. By the end, you'll have two returns. One is a tight room for glue and proximity. The other is a crush room for warehouse bite and attitude. Let's jump in. First, session prep. Get your drums organized so you can move fast. Group your drum elements into a drum bus. That might be the break track, kick, snare, hats and perk, whatever you're using. A big rule of thumb: keep your kick mostly dry at first. In D&B, low-end stability is sacred, and room processing can easily smear it. Now create two return tracks. Name return a tight room. Name return B crush room. If you want to work like a pro, color code them and park them near your drum group, so send moves are quick and obvious. Quick coaching note before we build chains: treat returns like mic channels, not reverbs. A workflow I recommend is leaving the return faders at 0 dB and doing most of the balancing with the sends. That way, if you automate a send up by 3 dB, it always feels like the mic got pushed up by 3 dB. Predictable, repeatable, easy. Cool. Let's build return A, tight room. The goal here is fast, controlled space. Think early reflections, walls close by, thickening not a long reverb tail. On return A, build this chain in order. EQ8, then hybrid reverb, then a compressor like glue, then utility. Start with EQ8 before the reverb. Pre-filtering is a huge part of what makes this believable, because real room mics don't capture sub cleanly, and they're rarely sparkly like close mics. Set a high-pass filter, 24 dB per octave, somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz. Set a low-pass filter, 12 dB per octave, somewhere around 7 to 10 kHz. Then listen for boxiness. If it starts sounding like cardboard, do a small dip around 300 to 500 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB medium Q. Now hybrid reverb. Put it in algorithm mode, choose room or small room, set decay short, about 0.25 to 0.6 seconds. For really snappy modern drums, stay closer to 0.25 to 0.35. Pre-delay is minimal here, 0 to 8 milliseconds. We want it tight. Size, small to medium. Imagine close walls. If you have early reflections control, bring it up a bit, because early reflections are where room mic realism lives. And because this is a return track, set dry slash wet to 100% wet. Now compression. This is where it starts behaving like a mic channel. Put on glue compressor. Attack around 10 milliseconds so the initial hit can still punch through. Release on auto, or around 0.2 seconds if you want to control the bounce manually. Ratio 4 to 1. Aim for about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on the peaks. And if you want extra bite, turn on soft clip and glue. That can give you that slightly driven console feel without going full distortion. Then utility for staging and width. Set width somewhere around 110 to 140%, but don't get greedy. Too wide can make your snare go hollow in mono. Adjust gain so when you bring up sends, your drum level doesn't suddenly jump and trick you into thinking it sounds better just because it's louder. Now some starting send levels, just to get you moving. For your break, start around minus 18 to minus 10 dB send. Hats and perk, minus 22 to minus 14. Snare, minus 20 to minus 12. Kick, either off entirely or very low, like minus infinity up to minus 24 at most. The tight room should be subtle. The test is, you miss it when it's muted, but you don't notice it as reverb when it's on. Now return B, crush room. This is the hype channel. This is your parallel room mic slammed on the desk sound. It's pumped, hairy, and mean. Perfect for jungle breaks and heavy rollers. Build this chain. EQ8, hybrid reverb, saturator, heavy compressor, optional gate, then utility. Start with EQ8, but more extreme this time. High pass at 250 to 450 Hz, 24 dB per octave. Low pass at 6 to 8 kHz. Optionally, add a tiny boost around 1.5 to 3K, 1 to 2 dB, just to bring snare crack forward in the room. Now hybrid reverb. You can go algorithm or convolution here. If you want realism, Convolution with a small or medium room IR can sound instantly like a recorded space. Decay is bigger than tight room, but still controlled, about 0.6 to 1.2 seconds. Pre-delay is key here, 10 to 25 milliseconds. That gap lets the dry transient hit first, then the room shows up behind it, like actual distance. Early reflections moderate to high. Now saturator. This is your mic preamp abused moment. Set it to analog clip if you want edge, or soft sign if you want smoother weight. Drive around 4 to 10 dB. Soft clip on. If it gets fizzy, you can tame it later with a gentle low pass or by shaving harsh upper mids after compression. Now heavy compression. This is supposed to pump. Use Ableton compressor for more control. Ratio 8 to 1 up to 12 to 1. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release 60 to 150 milliseconds. At 174 BPM, a really good starting point is 80 to 120 milliseconds. Then adjust until the room swells between snare hits instead of sitting on top of them. Aim for big gain reduction. 8 to 15 dB on peaks. Yes, that's a lot. That's why it feels like a crushed room mic. Optional, but powerful. Gate after the compression. This helps stop the room from turning into constant wash. Set the threshold so it opens on the snare and strong hits. Return around 50 to 150 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 250 milliseconds. For anywhere from minus infinity to minus 20, depending on how choppy you want it. This is amazing for fast rolling breaks, where you want excitement but not non-stop smear. Then utility. Keep width reasonable, maybe 80 to 120%, and keep an eye on level. Crushed returns get loud fast and can fool you. Starting send levels for crush room. Break is the main feed, minus 16 to minus 8 dB. Snare minus 18 to minus 10. Hats either off or low, like minus infinity to minus 18, unless you specifically want fizzy wash. Kick usually off. Protect the subs. Now let's make it feel like real room mics. Movement and realism. First trick, timing distance. Real room mics arrive late. You can fake that with micro delay. On return B, before the reverb, add simple delay. Turn link off. Set time around 8 to 18 milliseconds. Feedback at 0. Dry slash wet 100%. Because again, this is a return. This pushes the room behind the dry drums and adds depth without needing longer decay. Second trick, sidechain ducking for modern D&B clarity. If the room masks your transient, put a compressor after the reverb on the return and enable sidechain. Key it from the snare or the whole drum bus. Ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack fast, like 0.5 to 3 milliseconds. Release 60 to 120 milliseconds. Aim for 2 to 6 dB of ducking, so the dry hit stays forward, and the room blooms just after. That's the sweet spot. Third trick, keep the room transient shape intentional. If the snare feels smaller when you add the return, it's often because the room is adding mid-range attack that competes with the close sound. Try shaving a little 2 to 5k on the return after saturation and compression, not before. Post-processing EQ is often where you fix that why did my snare disappear problem. Now automation, because this is where returns become musical. Bring up crush room in the last bar or two before a drop to build tension. Hit it harder on fills, like the last half bar, then snap it back on the downbeat. A classic move, on the first two bars of the drop, let crush room hit a little harder for impact, then pull it back 1 or 2 dB so the groove stays tight. You can also automate decay, slightly shorter in dense sections, slightly longer in sparse sections. And if you're using gate, automate the threshold to open more during fills, so it feels like the drummer just leaned into the room. Now let's blend like a D&B mixer, quick and practical. Start with both returns muted. Bring up tight room first until you just miss it when it's gone. Then add crush room until you clearly hear attitude, then back it off 1 to 2 dB. That last step is important. The best crushed rooms feel exciting but not obviously parallel reverb. Then do a mono check. If your snare gets hollow, reduce width on returns, reduce extreme pre-delay settings, or simply reduce the send. Here's a fast phase sanity check, solo drums plus 1 return, and briefly invert the phase on the return using utilities phase invert for left and right. If the drums get bigger when inverted, your return is too correlated with the dry signal. Usually that means not enough delay, too much early reflection dominance, or the return is too narrow. Add a few milliseconds of delay or widen slightly, and recheck. Now a few common mistakes to avoid. Don't feed low end into the room. High pass aggressively. Mud builds fast. Don't use long decay on rolling patterns. It smears and actually makes the groove feel slower. Don't over widen. It's fun in stereo, but it can wreck mono compatibility and punch. Don't send the kick and sub heavy layers into the room unless you have a specific reason and you've checked the low end. And don't skip dynamic control. If there's no compression, ducking, or gating, the room becomes constant hissy wash instead of musical ambience. Let's push into some advanced options if you want to level it up. One powerful technique is mid-side room management. Put EQ8 after the compressor on a return. Switch it to N/S mode. High pass the mid-channel higher, like 300 to 600 Hz, to keep the center punch clean. Let the sides keep a bit more low mid, like high pass 180 to 300, so the space feels wide without messing with the mono core. Another upgrade is frequency-dependent ducking. Instead of ducking the whole return when the snare hits, duck only the high mid band, like 1 to 6K, using multiband dynamics or careful automation. That way the snare snap stays forward, but the room body still exists. And if you're layering a lot of drums, here's a workflow that saves your life. Make a dedicated room feed. Route your drum layers into a group and create a single track called room feed. Use that to feed the returns. Now you're not chasing sends across 10 tracks every time you change your break balance. Now quick mini exercise so you can lock this in. Load an Amen style chop or any modern edited break. Set tempo to 172 to 175 and loop 16 bars. Build return A and return B exactly like we did. Do in a slash B drill, both returns muted, listen to how flat it feels. Add tight room only and aim for glue. Add crush room and aim for attitude. Then automate, on bar 16, push the crush room send up by 3 to 6 dB just for the fill. Then snap it back on the drop. Export a quick bounce and check on headphones. Then do a mono check by temporarily setting utility width to 0 on the master. Question to answer. Does the snare keep its punch while the groove feels more performed? Let's wrap it up. Fake room mics indeed NB work best as returns because they're parallel, controlled, and super automatable. The realism comes from pre-filtering, short rooms and early reflections, compression like a mic channel, and optional gate or sidechain to keep the groove clean. Build two flavors, tight room for glue, crush room for grit. Blend subtly, automate for sections, and protect the sub and the transient punch at all times. This audio version is shortened for playback.